Hello, my friends. It's Tuesday, January 20th, 2026, and I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, your Red State refugee. And welcome to the Radical Russ Show, your weekday morning wake and bake, coming to you from Rolla J Studios in Southern Oregon. On today's smoke session, let's talk about Trump's crazy letter to Norway and how today is the one-year mark for the Trump regime. But before we get to all the serious political stuff, we've got time for three quick hits.
That means a lot, coming from a guy who painted his head like some sort of sports ball.
Well, congratulations to the Indiana Hoosiers, who became last night the first 16-0 undefeated national champion of college football since the 19th century? Yeah, I heard a stat the other day. It was like 1894, 1896, something like that, when the last time a college football team went 16-0 in a season. And it does bring up the question as to whether or not the college football season has gotten a little long. Our national championship game taking place on Martin Luther King Day all the way into late January. I don't know. 16 games for these guys seems a little long. I don't know what we can do about that because everybody loves the 12-team college playoff. But I don't know. Congratulations to the Hoosiers, my lady loves home state, undefeated national champions. So there's some bit of controversy going on in Minneapolis over the actions of some protesters who went into a church. They went into a church where there's a pastor there who apparently works for ICE. And so they stormed the church services and made a lot of noise. And people are a little bit torn on this. I even got called out on this on social media because I think that's a bad thing. I think protesting inside a church is a bad thing. Protest outside the church all you like, surround the place, you know, put up your picket signs, make a lot of noise, that's fine. But I kind of think there's three places we ought not have disruptive protests: schools, churches, and hospitals. Because in each one of those cases, you got innocent people inside who you're disrupting their education, you're disrupting their right to worship, you're disrupting their health care. I don't think that's a good trade-off. And also, I don't think it's very smart because you give Fox News and all the right-wingers these scenes of chaos inside a church, and that's going to really activate their base. So I don't think it's very tactically smart, and I think it infringes on people's right to worship. I know I would be pretty upset if a bunch of right-wing protesters were interrupting synagogues or mosques with their protests. So let's think a little bit more about that one, shall we? Speaking of churchy, I saw this graphic come across my feed from Turning Point USA featuring the widow, Erica Kirk, which is an anagram for Arier KKK, by the way. Arier KKK. Erica Kirk is a confirmed speaker for this Turning Point USA event called the Make Heaven Crowded Tour 2026. Make Heaven Crowded. Okay, let's think through that a little bit. Are you trying to say that we need to kill a whole bunch more people? Is that how you make heaven crowded? Or are you indicating that if we send a whole bunch of people to heaven, heaven is a place of limited space that God couldn't increase the size of? I don't know exactly how to interpret this.
They don't vote Democrat, they don't drive Cadillacs, and they never use personal vehicles.
Got to start off today talking about this insane note that Trump left to the Norwegian Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre. I'm not exactly sure if I'm pronouncing that name correctly. I know it's Jonas. And in this note, well, let me just read the note for you. This is what Trump gave to the leader of Norway and asked that it be forwarded to national security staff to multiple European ambassadors in Washington. And the note reads, "Dear Jonas, considering your country decided not to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for having stopped 8 wars plus, I no longer feel an obligation to think purely of peace, although it will always be predominant, but can now think about what is good and proper for the United States of America. Denmark cannot protect that land from Russia or China, and why do they have a right of ownership anyway? There are no written documents. It's only that a boat landed there hundreds of years ago, but we had boats landing there also. I've done more for NATO than any other person since its founding, and now NATO should do something for the United States. The world is not secure unless we have complete and total control of Greenland. Thank you, President DJT." 25th Amendment, people. God, it would take 4 Republicans in the United States Senate and the United States House to stand up against this guy. If there were any Republicans who took seriously their oath to the Constitution and their love of the country, this guy would have been out of office long ago, impeached, removed, and convicted. But the Republicans have decided this is their only way to hang on to power. They are the white people's party, and there's increasingly fewer white people year after year, so they know the only way they can hold on to power is through fascism, is through destroying democracy, is through not listening to the will of the people, at least any of the people of darker shades and different sexualities. The man has dementia. He's insane. And if we get out of this Trump maladministration without a nuclear exchange happening, I'll consider us lucky. This note: "You wouldn't give me the Nobel Peace Prize, so I'm going to have to go to war. Well, if you're not going to award me for being Mr. Peaceful, I'm going to have to not be peaceful anymore." It's a government run by goddamn 12-year-olds. And this little part, talk about no self-awareness. A boat lands somewhere hundreds of years ago, and that doesn't give you any right to land ownership? Somebody tell Chief Powhatan in 1610, when John Smith and the Puritans were landing their boats on Plymouth Rock, that there's no right to ownership just because you landed a boat there. Oh, and by the way, what is land ownership? Insane. And you know, he just wants Greenland because he sees it on a Mercator map projection as this big, huge chunk of land. It's not really that big. I mean, Greenland is the largest island on the planet, but if you were to superimpose it over the United States, it's about the size of the Midwest. It's not this big, huge thing just because of the map distortion. And the idea that we need to protect it from Russia or China when we already have military bases there and Greenland is already a member of NATO through Denmark and has the protection of the entire European Union, Canada, and the United States and all of our nuclear arsenal, it's complete horseshit. He wants Greenland because he is a dictator. And he feels that this world should be run by brutal dictators that have their own spheres of influence. The United States gets the Western Hemisphere, everything north of Brazil. Russia and Putin, they get all of Eastern Europe and Russia. Xi and China, he gets Taiwan and all of that area. They're like the old cable companies dividing up the United States. You know, Cox gets this area, Spectrum gets this area, Comcast gets that area, setting up an oligopoly for the entire planet that has no concern for democracies, no concern for human rights, no concern for the international rule of law. Might makes right. Take what you want. That's where Trump is trying to take us.
Our top story tonight.
Our top story tonight.
Now, at least of all friends, his girlfriend, though, is still dead.
top story today is that we are officially 1 year into the Trump regime. January 20th, 2025, he was inaugurated, and from day one, he pardoned 1,500 insurrectionists, renamed the Gulf of Mexico into the Gulf of America, signed a bunch of executive orders to take rights away from people, and confirmed Marco Rubio 99-0 to be Secretary of State. Thanks, Democrats. Yeah, so it's been quite the year, and I don't know how we're going to recover from this internationally, especially with this latest letter that I just read you to Norway, you know, since your country wouldn't give me the Nobel Peace Prize. And it's not the country of Norway that gives the prize anyway. It's the Nobel Committee that happens to be located in Norway. So it's not like the Norwegian government could give him the prize anyway. But the rest of the world can see that Donald Trump is absolutely batshit insane. And I don't know how they can ever trust us Americans again. Electing Donald Trump once is one thing. I can see the rest of the world going, all right, you know, we've had our weird situations too. We had our Brexit over in the UK, for example. So, yeah, we can see how populists could rise up. We can see how everybody could be schnookered into it. But after he is in office for 4 years, stares directly at an eclipse, mismanages the COVID-19 pandemic, and just generally behaves like a buffoon on the world stage for 4 years, for us to re-elect him, especially after the insurrection, is just unconscionable. I can't see how the world can ever trust us again. And now, the rest of the world has looked at us as insane for our gun policies, for our Second Amendment. You people are insane. Here in our countries, we have maybe 3, 4, 5, 10 shooting deaths a year. Y'all have thousands of shooting deaths a year. You have as many shooting deaths in a day as we have in a year. You people are insane. And we'd always come back as proud Americans. Well, we got our Second Amendment so we can stand up against a tyrannical government. We ain't never going to be taken over by no fascist like Hitler, like Mussolini. We got our guns to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government. And look where we are. 1 year into a tyrannical government. So the rest of the world can look at us and say, oh, yeah, big bad Americans with your Second Amendment standing against your tyrannical government. Apparently those guns were only for school shootings. That's apparently what those guns were for, to massacre yourselves, because you're not standing up against your tyrannical government. So they can't believe our cowboy mythologies, and they can't believe our pan to democracy. We stand for truth and freedom, land of the free, home of the brave, where people in Minneapolis are having to shut down schools and stay inside and arrange for food convoys to their neighbors who are for fear of being snatched up off the street by masked, unaccountable, unidentified federal goons with body armor and automatic weapons whose probable cause is that you're brown and you got an accent. That's how far we've gone in just 1 year under Trump. And the rest of the world's got to be looking at us. I mean, like, what if we gave the presidency via the Electoral College to an unqualified, overweight, malignant narcissist wearing lifts, orange makeup, and a comb over with a documented history of racism, sexism, fraud, hucksterism, lying, and best friendship with the world's greatest pedophile sex trafficker, and then, after he's impeached for betraying Ukraine, gets a million of us killed in a pandemic, has his imprisoned pedophile best friend suicide, foments an insurrection, is impeached again for starting and not stopping it, is adjudicated of rape, is found hoarding top secret docs and lying about it, then hawks signature Bibles, gold watches, and money laundering tokens, is convicted of 34 felony counts related to defrauding his first election by concealing his affair with a porn star and cheating on his centerfold girlfriend and cheating on his third wife while she nursed his fifth child at a time just after he was heard on tape both boasting of a lifetime of sexual assault while burying his first wife in an unlandscaped corner of his golf course for a tax write-off. What if we gave him the presidency again, this time via popular vote, and this time the Supreme Court says he can't be prosecuted for anything he does, his entire cabinet is drunks, fools, toadies, and Fox News personalities, and the Heritage Foundation has supplied them all with a 900-page blueprint on how to make America 1890 again. Do you suppose something bad might happen? I am so ashamed of the United States of America and 77 million of us who voted for this freak. Some of you people who voted for him three times in a row. And every time I get to this point, I also have to get angry at Democrats, because for the Democratic Party to have provided an alternative that could be so odious to 77 million people that they could turn and say, no, let's bring back the guy that got a million of us killed during COVID. Let's bring back the guy who invites athletes to the White House with a state dinner of hamburgers, of fast food. Let's bring that guy back. How bad of a party do you got to be, and how little do you got to be offering in the American people that they could look at Hillary Clinton, a Secretary of State, a U.S. Senator, a First Lady, a legal trained mind, someone who is eminently qualified for the position, and millions of people go, nah, give me the orange-faced TV host. Give me that guy with the nuclear codes. Or that we could have Kamala Harris, someone who was a senator, who was a district attorney, someone who was a vice president of the United States, eminently qualified, highly intelligent. And 77 million people could go, nah, I don't know about her. She got a funny laugh. How about we go with the guy who says he's going to absolutely dismantle the federal government, and he's going to take over Greenland by force and destroy NATO. Let's go with that guy. A lot of this, I have to place the blame on Democrats, and it's happening again. Right now, we are under the greatest degree of fascism this country has ever suffered. And I know there's debate on this online. Tom Nichols from The Atlantic likes to scold people. You don't live in a fascist country. You still have elections. If this were a fascist country, merely posting what you just posted would have the state police knocking on your door and taking you away into a foreign gulag, a torture prison, blah, 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 blah. Right? Like, I always imagine, like, me and Tom being loaded onto a boxcar headed to the ovens. Hey, Tom, can we call it fascism now? Like, okay, so maybe we're not all the way to fascism. Maybe we're not, it's not all the way ensconced, but boy, it sure is coming. It sure smells like fascism to me. We already have. I've got a video that came across my feed the other day of a couple of sheriffs who knocked on a woman's door, held up a phone to her that had a Facebook post on it. And this woman had put up a Facebook post being critical of the mayor. And these sheriffs are asking her, is this you? Did you write this post? Is this your post? We got armed agents of the state showing up at your door to criticize your First Amendment right to criticize your government. The intimidation is already happening. Renee Good is dead. Shot dead in Minneapolis, and her killer, Jonathan Ross, walks free. We have a murder committed on tape with multiple witnesses. And not only is this guy not sitting in a holding cell right now awaiting charges, the Trump administration, the Trump regime, went into overdrive to make sure to collect all the evidence, spoil the crime scene, move the witness, remove the suspect to a safe house. They're investigating Renee Good. They're investigating Becca Good or her widow. They're going to investigate Tim Walz and Jacob Fry for talking about it. They're going to investigate everybody except the guy who pulled the goddamn trigger. We're living in fascist times. And I see the Democrats not rising to the occasion. Although, I let me give some credit. I will give some credit to Senator Ruben Gallego. He was on one of the shows the other day talking about how we need to abolish ICE. It needs to be ripped up from the root. You cannot reform this. You cannot give more training to a bunch of high school dropout racist misogynists who recruited specifically for those traits. Specifically recruited to be cruel to brown people and women. And think putting them in 16 hours of some diversity training is going to change their attitudes. At least Senator Gallego gets it. But I saw, Cory Booker, Senator Booker from Jersey, talking about, we really need to have more training. They don't get enough training. We're going to institute some training and some restrictions. Yeah, let's have a kinder, gentler SS. Let's have a nicer, better trained Gestapo. The Democrats are what Dr. Martin Luther King wrote about in his letter to the Birmingham jail, letter from the Birmingham jail, when he wrote about the white moderates more interested in a peace that is an absence of tension. Don't be so protesty. Absence of tension is what these Democrats are going for. Oh, everybody's upset about ICE. Let's reduce the tension. Let's make sure they're better trained. We couldn't talk about getting rid of them, abolishing them, heaven forfend. Why, Republicans would say that we're weak on the border. As if getting rid of ICE gets rid of any sort of control of the border. You understand that ICE and the Department of Fatherland Security only been around since 2003. I got T-shirts older than the Department of Fatherland Security. We seem to have all sorts of border control in the 1900s. We had an Immigration and Naturalization Service. This is something that needs to be solved by paperwork. Immigration is a paperwork issue. Any violations of them are administrative violations, not crimes. Administrative misdemeanors is what we're talking about. Administrative misdemeanors is why we're sending out guys in camo and full battle tack and semi-automatic weapons, grabbing people off the street, hog-tying them, putting them into illegal chokeholds over administrative violations. These people want to get you all riled up. The immigrants are creating crime. Laken Riley was killed by an immigrant. Laken Riley. The right always has their lists of the innocent victims killed by the criminal Jew. Oh, I'm sorry. I went back to the original German. The undocumented immigrant. The illegal alien. Always that scaremongering. And that's not to discount the loss of Laken Riley or the horrific crime that is committed by some people who are in the country illegally. But we all know, statistically speaking, immigrants commit far less crime than native-born Americans. Why? Because they're here illegally. Right? The last thing you want to do is interface with the cops when you don't have your green card or a work visa. You want to stay on the down low. You want to be good. You want to keep your nose clean. And if there are criminal undocumented people in the country, we have cops for that. Cops are there to prevent and respond to crime. They're not there to respond to American crime or immigrant crime. They're there to respond to crime. We've got cops for crime. We've got more cops in the United States of America than just about any other country has. We got plenty of cops. But they're not really interested in solving immigrant crime. That's not the whole point of it. The point of the immigrant crime is to gin up the excuse for ethnic cleansing. And that's what we're undergoing right now. This is ethnic cleansing. This is Stephen Miller's wet dream of removing from the United States 100 million people whose skin doesn't look like his, whose sexual appetites aren't like his. They want America to be white and delightsome. They really do believe that God divinely inspired and created via manifest destiny a homeland for good white Christian people. That's the way they think. They really think America is supposed to be a nation of straight white people who worship Jesus and speak English. That's their dream. That's their goal. That's what they want, because they fear difference. They can't stand difference. It freaks them out. You hear it in the way they talk about things, like when they go to the city and like, oh man, I went to the city and it sure looked like a sketchy neighborhood. You ever heard that term? A sketchy neighborhood. Sketchy usually means poverty and brown people. I saw poverty and I saw non-white people. Sketchy. Because they fear difference. They have this so-called great replacement theory that they believe. They really do. And they're told this on Fox News night after night. Newsmax, News Nation, and One America News, and a million right-wing podcasts. You, good white Christian person, are being replaced. The Democrats are opening the borders to make sure a whole bunch of Muslims come in. Whole bunch of them Muslims with their face coverings and their la 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 la's and their calls to prayer and their halal food. They're going to come in and replace all the white people. They're going to make it so we no longer have Christmas off. You have to take Eid off or Ramadan. They really believe this. They really believe that unless white people are dominant and our culture is the default, that it won't exist. Which is kind of telling on ourselves, isn't it? If we're not allowed to dominate and subjugate, we don't have a culture. Kind of sounds like that's our culture, isn't it? We're the Borg, for fuck's sake. Resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. That's not the way I see America. The America I love is the America that has all of the world in it. America is great because everybody wants to come to America. And America is great because everybody did come to America. The list of things I could name, the inventions, the progress that's been made, not just in the United States, but in the world, scientifically, economically, just invention-wise, technologically, is so disproportionately thanks to our immigrants and to the black people in this country and the natives and the Hispanics, the Asians. That you can have any city in the United States and go to a Chinatown. You'll find a Chinatown in any major city. That we have blues and jazz and country and bluegrass and all of these art forms derived from black culture, from Hispanic culture. That's what makes America great, is our diversity. Is that everyone is here. Anything you could want, any type of person you'd want to meet, can be found in the United States of America. And they want to destroy all that, and they are destroying all that. They're destroying our good name in the world. 600,000 people dead, children, parents of starving kids, parents of kids dying from easily treatable diseases who, in years past, would go to some aid station and they would see white faces with American flags and USAID patches and massive crates of food and medicines with the US flag on them. And that poor starving kid in Africa or Southeast Asia or wherever it might be could know that no matter how bad the poverty was, no matter what sort of warfare and strife and pestilence and drought and suffering and famine they were going through, somewhere in the world was a place called America that gave a shit. Somewhere in the world, there were people who were living a life of riches and luxury they could only fantasize about, had the common decency to at least save their kid from smallpox or starvation. But not anymore. Now that mom or dad watching their kid die, slowly starved to death, knows there are boxes and boxes of food just a mile away in a warehouse somewhere that the United States set on fire, threw in a dump, disposed of. It was all there. Even if we had canceled, even if the goal was we were going to cancel USAID, have it never work again, save all that money, the stuff that had already been deployed was sitting in warehouses, could have saved lives. We ordered it destroyed instead. There are going to be movies, plays, songs for the rest of my life where the United States is the bad guy. Think of all of the culture you've consumed in your lifetime. I'm 57, turning 58 at the end of the month. But think of all the TV and movies and shows that you've seen where the Nazis are the bad guys in the show, or the terrorists are the bad guys. It's always been a rotating cast. It was Nazis for a while, then South Africans, then Russians, then unidentifiable, generic Middle Eastern ethnicity, right? Always the bad guy as we've gone through our movies and our TV shows. Well, that's going to be us in the movies of the future. The movies in the future are going to be detailing the horrors that we unleashed upon this world through our selfish and idiotic re-election of one of the worst human beings the United States has ever produced, Donald John Trump. And we're just 1 year into this. 1 year. Transgender people have been pretty much eliminated in any sort of government recognition, eliminated from the military, eliminated from competing in any sort of sports. Our immigration is cut to just about zero, at least if you have brown or black skin. If you're a white South Afrikaner, welcome. Come on in. This place needs more white folks. We've got the Department of Defense decimated. We've got all of the women and black leadership at the Joint Chiefs sacked. We're just 1 year into this, and I think we've been pretty fortunate so far that we haven't seen the full effect of all of these tariffs, of all this saber rattling, of all this intentional destruction of our government structures. But this year, 2026, especially as we're leading into a midterm election, I think we're going to start feeling those effects. I think we're going to start seeing some rampant inflation. We're going to start seeing some riots. We're going to see the imposition of martial law, the implementation of the Insurrection Act, an invasion of Greenland, the end of NATO, actual deaths of American soldiers from NATO bullets. That's all on the table now. 2026 is going to be lit. And I know some people out there say, you know, he can't cancel the election. There's no canceling elections. Elections are run on a state level. And I hope that's true. I don't know at what level of martial law and Insurrection Act elections would be suspended or canceled. But even presuming that elections do happen in November like they're supposed to, what sort of skullduggery will they be up to repress the turnout? ICE agents posted at polling places in minority neighborhoods, pulling people out of line, demanding they identify themselves as citizens, throwing them into vans and taking them to detention centers just long enough for election day to pass. Oops, sorry, you didn't get your vote in on time. Oh, well. I am hopeful that midterm elections can address some of this. I'm hopeful that Democrats could take back the House and maybe even the Senate, though with the current leadership of the Democratic Party, I'm not sure of a whole lot of good it would do because they don't seem to recognize the intensity with which they must fight at this point. I think there's too many of them. Chuck Schumer's and Hakeem Jeffries and the such, who just want to get it back to the way it was. Let's just get back to normal. Let's get it back to normal, which was exactly what Joe Biden sought to do. Let's get things back to normal. And the Democrats, they failed to recognize that normal wasn't working. Normal was what got us Trump in the first place. Normal has been something on the Democratic Party that since Bill Clinton in 1992 has increasingly meant corporate friendly. Normal has meant more cops on the streets and tougher borders. Normal has meant the Telecommunications Act. Let's let all of our mass media consolidate. Normal has meant NAFTA. Let's destroy our manufacturing base. Let's put a shiv in labor. That's what normal has gotten us from the Democrats since 1992. Increasing friendliness with Wall Street that continues buying up single-family homes and pricing us out of the housing market. Normal is what got us the subprime housing crash of 2008. People losing their retirements and losing their homes. We don't want to get back to normal. And maybe if there is any silver lining to be taken from this Trump fascist regime, it might be that through DOGE and through all their destructive acts to tear down government, maybe they will have torn down government to the studs so that we can rebuild it. We can rebuild it to better serve our diverse population. We can rebuild it with Medicare for all. We can rebuild our country to respect civil rights. We can pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. We can strengthen our civil liberties in this country. Maybe after two terms of Trump, we'll have recognized the weaknesses in our electoral systems and patched them and fixed them. Maybe we'll have a serious effort to do away with the Electoral College, to increase the size of the United States House, to increase the size of the United States Supreme Court. That's got to be number one on the agenda of the Democrats. If they're not serious about expanding this court and reversing the horrific decisions of this Supreme Court Republicans of the United States, the SCROTUS, that is so deeply in the pockets of the Heritage Foundation and the move for white Christian nationalism, if they're not talking about expanding the court and setting up some sort of term limits for the court and enforceable codes of ethics for the court, then nothing the Democrats try to do to fix all of the problems from Trump will be possible. Nothing will be possible. The SCROTUS will stamp them down. The SCROTUS that found all sorts of latitude to let Donald Trump do whatever he wants. What? Absolute immunity for criminal acts? Why, sure. That same court will suddenly discover a backbone, suddenly discover some judicial restraint, suddenly discover the Constitution once there's a Democrat in office. You just mark my words. So if we don't do something to expand the court and tilt its balance back to at least moderate, there's really no point in electing Democrats to run the government, because the fix will be in. And what'll happen is Democrats will get in there and try to fix things. The Supreme Court will shut down their fixes, and then the people will go, see, well, we elected Democrats and nothing happened. Might as well go back to... And Trump probably won't be alive by that point, but who knows who'll be next up? President Rubio, President Vance, President Stephen Miller? I don't know. So if I have one wish for this second year of the Trump fascist regime, it's that the Democratic Party recognizes that is a fascist regime. It is not a normal Republican administration from which we have a transfer of power and continue things the way they were. I don't want things to get worse, but I think they will get worse. And I hope when they do get worse, it wakes these Democratic leaders up, shocks them out of their complacency, and forces them to finally take some big swings at fixing these fundamental flaws with the American experiment. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's Smoke Session. The Radical Russ Show is produced, directed, researched, written, recited, posted, and catered by me, Radical Russ Belville, and governed by Creative Commons share-alike licensing. News, music, video clips, and social media posts are reproduced under fair use copyright laws for commentary and analysis. My main theme is We Love the Herb by Herbal Nation, and interstitial music is by Russ Boom Boom Belville.
What's the boom boom for?
Boom boom boom.
Which brings us to our post-credits scene.
Oh, just one more thing, sir. I was thinking...
You know, I was noticing the other day, I think they were putting out some new announcement for a new show on one of the networks. And it was one of these cop procedural shows. You know, there's like a million of them out there. You got your CSIs, there's like five or six of them. You got your NCISs, there's four or five of them. Your FBI, all these initial shows that are out there, all these crime procedurals, Criminal Minds, all that kind of stuff. I got to thinking, there sure are a whole lot of these Law and Order type shows for the Law and Order side. How come we don't have a show for the other side of the legal system? For the defense, why don't we have procedural shows for the defense? And so I've decided... This is my pitch. We need a new procedural show, and I am going to call this show I Sue MFers. That'll be the show. And the idea of I Sue MFers is that it's this poor guy, absolutely poor, who's been wronged in life somehow, and he buys a lottery ticket, and he wins a multi-million dollar lottery. And with this multi-million dollars that he now has, he goes back to college, gets his law degree with the intent of suing motherfuckers. As a poor person, he's been poor all his life, and there's been so many times he's been taken advantage of and wronged, and he's never been able to get back at those who wronged him because he was poor. And he could never afford an attorney or never afford to go to court. So now that he's won the lottery, he goes to college, he gets his law degree, and he hangs up his shingle, and his ad is basically, I sue MFers. And every week, it's a procedural story of someone who comes in to I Sue MFers to describe how some motherfucker fucked them over. And then this guy says, I Sue MFers. And the procedural is all about how he goes and investigates the, you know, what the MFer did and collects the evidence of what the MFer did and then has to take it to court. And in court, there's the dramatic courtroom testimony where he gets the MFer to admit the terrible MFing thing he did, right? That's what I want. I want a procedural show, a Law and Order type procedural show, where the hero is the defense attorney, where the hero is the lawyer who sues the evil corporation or hospital or military or government, where the little guy who's been wronged gets his comeuppance. With all the dozens and dozens of Law and Order, tough on crime, cop procedural, lock up the bad guy shows there are out there, can't we just have one that stands up for the little guy who's been wronged? You can contact me by email at radicalrus@gmail.com. Call my message line at 877-RUSS-420. That's 877-877-420. And reach me on social media on Blue Sky as radicalrus.com and nowhere else. You can support this podcast financially by donating to Radical Russ on Venmo, Rad Russ on Cash App, or via PayPal on my website at RadicalRuss.com. Get this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, my website, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care of each other.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Fried chicken.